Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which are learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The peace of God protects our heart. It's the peace of God. And in that verse, there's a very important thing that we learn. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. How many people get anxious about things? Usually every Sunday. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. But all things, through prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. You know, Jesus says that, don't worry. He says, don't worry. Don't worry about your life, what you're going to put on, what you're going to wear, what you're going to do. Don't you know that your Father knows? He says, don't worry about it, because by you worrying about it, you can't add anything to yourself. You can't make yourself any better, bigger, you know, wiser, stronger, taller. You can't do anything to make yourself any better off than you currently are. But you can certainly do something that's going to make yourself worse off, and that's worrying. You know, they say that the medical field says that somewhere around 85 to 90% of sicknesses and diseases are caused because of stress. They're a direct result because of stress in your life. Because you're worrying about, you're stressing about, and then it causes a physical reaction in your body. We're giving the words of life right here. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication. But I really want it to go this way. Well, you know what? Let go of that. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. And when the world is unstable, God is not. When there's chaos running rampant in the streets, and there's philosophies that abound, God is stable. Jesus said that that a person who hears my word and does them. Listen, key. He hears my word and does them. It's like a person who's founded upon a rock. And in the midst of trials and tribulations and all kinds of manner things that come against life, they'll not be moved. But consequently, the other side of that coin is the foolish person who builds his life on the sand. Who's the person who builds his life on the sand? One who's heard but is not doing. He hears it, but he's not living. If you hear it and you live it, you're building a house. Why? Because you trust in what's been told to you, but you're building in the wrong location. You're not founding it upon the truth of who Jesus is and the truth that he taught. He says, be anxious for nothing, but all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests known. We need to be founded on the rock. The rock is Jesus. And do we trust him to lead and guide our lives? Well, yeah. But am I going in the right direction? That's a good question. How do I know if I'm hearing from God? How do I know if I'm in the right spot? Well, you have to trust God. But how do I know if I'm hearing? That's part of where faith comes in. You know, we believe that God's able to do the miraculous, but we don't always believe that God's able to tell us what we need to do. Well, I don't know what to do here. Do you believe that God is capable and able to communicate with you in a way that's going to help you know which way to go? Well, God is so much higher than me. He's so much greater than me. How could I possibly understand what He's saying? I don't know. Maybe this is God, maybe that's God, but I don't know. Well, that's where faith comes in. I trust Him. Be anxious for nothing. Don't even be anxious about whether or not you're going to hear from God. Be confident in knowing that you will. Be anxious for nothing, because you know that your Father cares for you. And He's not going to give you something bad. Well, what if I miss it? Wouldn't be the first time. Won't be the last. But the reality is that God is there. And if we put our faith and trust in Him, if we make our stand on the Word, and the Word says, be anxious for nothing, but if through all things, through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God, and we stand on that and say, you know what, I'm not going to worry about that. God, you know the situation, you know the circumstance, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you to lead me and guide me and show me what I need to do. And then you walk in it, you trust in it, you say, okay, this is what I'm doing. Well, what are you going to do about that? You know what? I've asked God about that. I don't have the answer yet. Well, don't you know you need to have an answer by tomorrow? Well, then I'll have the answer tomorrow. Because my God is faithful. Is that where we're going to stand? You know, are we going to stand there? Are we going to sit up all night going, oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to make this? Listen, this is personal experience for me. You know, I've been there. I've done that. You know, it's funny, in just talking about this, I'm realizing I've sort of been walking this out a little bit this week. Because I've been trying to, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I want you to do this. I'm like, okay. Okay, I need to work on my sermon. What do you want me to do? I want you to do this. And it was just like, throughout the week, it's like this. And honestly, it wasn't until last night, at about 9 o'clock, that the Lord like kind of gave me the outline. But I had to trust Him. I had to rely on Him. I had to wait and say, God, you know what? You know better than I do. That's what you want me to do. That's what I'm going to do. I know that you have a sermon, that you have a word that you want to come forward, that you have something that you want to talk to these people, and I trust you that you can communicate that with me. And because He had done it before for me, I could rest in the confidence. But that didn't mean that there wasn't that anxiousness down in my heart. Well, what if? Well, then I'm going to stand up here and stare at you. But I didn't have a fear of that, because God has always been faithful. There are times when somebody else has had the message. But God has always come through. It's like, and you look at the circumstances in your life, and you can point to times in your life, you say, yeah, God came through for me there, and He led me there, and He made me, even the difficult things that you went through, even the stupid things that you did, He's walked you through it. I was reading a book by Kenneth Hagin about the Holy Spirit, and he was relaying a story about how God spoke to him in 1956, I think it was. It was 1950, middle of 1950s. And he said that he woke up one morning, and he says, it's an unusual thing. He's a late sleeper. And he woke up when the sun came up, and he says he sat up straight in bed, and he heard these words, not spoken audibly, but he heard them in his heart very clearly, that there was a recession coming and he needed to prepare. He said he ignored it. And I believe that he said the recession happened in the 1957. And he said that they lost $100 every week in the ministry. And he says, and that's not like just having, you know, just what he says, that is like stripped down basically, essentially what we needed. That's it. And he says, we're still losing $100 a week. Well, you got to remember, that was 1950. $100 was a lot of money back then. I think soda was still 25 cents for a can of soda. Anybody alive during then can verify that? Be willing to verify that? Dad? It might have been a dime, I don't know. Was it a dime? Yeah. Yeah, that was Grantsburg. So they were a little even further behind the time. So it was in the city, it was probably a quarter. But you figure now, if you go buy a soda, it's at like $1.50, $1.75 for a can. I don't know what it is, a dollar? I don't think they even sell cans anymore. It doesn't seem like it's always the bottles. But it's like, you think about the difference in cost. You know, you're talking thousands of dollars probably nowadays. Anyway. So further on, a number of years down the road, Jesus came. There was a moment where Jesus came and spoke to him face to face. Well, whether it was face to face or not, I don't know, but it was a visitation. And the Lord spoke to him about his ministry, he spoke to him about other things, and he spoke to him about the finances. And he said, you know, you weren't going to listen to me. I knew you weren't going to listen to me, so I sent my angel to you, and you didn't listen to him. And he said, during that period of time, he would pray about his finances, he would pray about what's going on, and it seemed like God would just not answer him. And he said, I just, you know, you wouldn't listen to me, so you suffered the consequence of it. Even in that, though, he survived. God saw him through it. He still had the finances. He was able to take out a loan and be able to keep the ministry running. And then the Lord told him what he was going to do to get him out of the situation he was in. And he said it happened exactly like he did, and he said it was amazing. That he ended up founding Rhema Bible College. He went around the world. So it's like, even in those times when we miss God, God can use it because he can teach us something in it, which is great. And that's what the scripture means when it talks about all things work together for good for those that are called according to his purpose. It's not, you'll hear people in the world use that, well, just all things work together for God, you know, for good. No, it only works together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Those who have set their lives on a course to make God and his purpose and plan for their life their main goal. And it says God can use anything that comes in your life, he can use for good. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever the devil brings against you, he can turn it towards good. Because you've set your life on course for what he wants to do. In the Old Testament it says, hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord and all that he commands you to do. Hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. And it still applies in the New Testament. The hearkening is listening diligently to what God has to say. Jesus is the Word. So we look to him to see what is the plan and purpose. You know what? And I told you last week, I shared with you last week about the dream that I had. And how I didn't think that this was, I don't think that this is the storm yet. I think we're just beginning to see it. And that it's going to get worse. And in that, we need to learn not to be anxious about it. To not let what's going on out in the world cause us to be afraid. We don't live according to the world. We don't stand in the world system. We choose to stand outside of the world system. We choose to make the love of God the motive of our life. To see His name glorified and magnified. That we've been translated from this kingdom in this world. Which is what we're seeing going on out there. That's the kingdom of this world. That we've been translated in the kingdom of His dear Son. You know, and Jesus told us that there was going to be difficulties. God told us. Matthew 24. If you want to turn there, Matthew 24. Verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. I mean, he's telling you, be aware. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Don't let anyone deceive you. Okay? I'm going to tell you, listen to what I'm about to say. Don't be deceived. For many will come in my name saying that I am the Christ. They will deceive many. And you will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All of these things are the beginning of sorrows. Oh, that's a great encouraging word. This is Jesus, Son of God, the Lamb of God, the one in whom the Spirit of God rested upon without measure. There was no restriction as far as His ability in operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And here He is foretelling future events. He is prophesying what is about to come. He is telling us what's going to happen. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. We've seen that since way even before Jesus. We saw wars and rumors of wars. That's nothing different. There still is. We've had, you know, a few wars in my lifetime. Some of you have seen way more than I have. But we're currently seeing nation rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. A kingdom is, it doesn't necessarily have to be a physical place. It can be a kingdom of ideology. That's something that rules and governs a group of people. So you see nation rise against nation. People group versus people group. Kingdom versus kingdom. Ideology versus ideology. And he says you're going to see these things. And all these things will come to pass, but it's not yet. There will be famine. I remember the famine in Ethiopia when I was younger. And talking about the people starving in Ethiopia. There will be famines. There will be pestilence. There will be, you know, plagues of locusts. Pestilence. There could be a plague of a destructive type of agricultural thing. What do they call them? Pests? Blights. Blights. There could be blights and stuff like that, that would just totally decimate typical, specific types of crops. Pestilences and earthquakes. Well, we've seen earthquakes, right? We've heard of them around the world. It says in various places. In various places. I think that gives an indication that places where wouldn't normally be thought of as happening. Various. Different. Not where you would typically expect it to be. What if we had an earthquake right here in the Midwest? That would be abnormal. Could happen. You know, there's faults here. It could possibly happen. We could see it. And he says, this is the beginning of sorrows. We're going to see it. Jesus prophesied it. It's not going to change. Oh. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious. Be aware. Yep, Jesus said it was going to happen. What we're seeing happen nowadays, Jesus said would happen. It was going to happen. We don't need to be afraid of it. What do we need to do? In all things, through prayer and supplication, we make our requests known unto God. You know what? God, this is starting to stress me out. Help me to walk in your peace. That's an acceptable prayer. You know, begin to confess to God. God, I know you've got me. I know you're going to lead me and guide me. I know that you're going to help me navigate this situation which I find myself in. I hesitate to say this. God, you're going to keep me out of trouble. Because sometimes that's exactly where God leads us. Right in the middle of trouble. Why? Because He wants to show Himself strong. He wants to glorify His name. He wants to use you. Now, he's not going to put you in a situation that he hasn't equipped you for. You may not think that you are equipped for it, but you are. Jesus said that they will take you and they will put you before kings and they will put you before rulers and they will beat you. They will despise you. And they may kill you. But don't worry about what you're going to say. Because in that very hour, I will give you what to say. Be anxious for nothing. You know what? Don't worry about, is my life going to be martyred? Could that happen? Yeah, it could happen. Don't worry about it. Make a choice in your heart of make a choice in your heart that you will not bend or bow your knee in any way. That you will serve Christ till the end, no matter what. Make that decision. And then don't worry about whether or not you're going to be delivered up to be martyred. Because I can guarantee you, most of the people who got martyred didn't wake up that morning and say, you know what, I'm going to be martyred today. I just decided, I feel like today's a good day to be martyred. You know, they weren't Klingons. Today is a good day to die. But they had decided in their heart that they were going to follow Jesus. I have decided that I will follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And this is like the beginning of sorrows. We need to make a choice as to where we're going to stand. For me, that's I made that choice long ago. Which is why I'm in the position I'm in, because I've been constrained by the love of God. I've been constrained by the calling that He's placed on my life to do this. To tell you, don't be anxious. You have got nothing to be anxious about. Well, the world's falling apart. Mm-hmm. Jesus said so. Not only has it been prophesied, but read Revelations. Yeah, there's more to come. It's going to get crazy. You know, there's people that I know who are not, let's just say their salvation is questionable. And they read the scriptures and they go, oh, this is the mark of the beast. This is that. Or this is the Antichrist. And it's like, what are you worrying about that for? No Jesus. Yeah, He's going to come. He's going to show up one day. You know, the man of sin will show up. He will be here. And there is absolutely nothing that we can do to stop it, because it's already been foretold. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. It's all part of the plan. He knows what He's doing. He knows where He's going. Well, I don't like the situation I'm in. Don't worry about it. God knows what He's doing. It sucks. Yep. Quit putting your eyes on the circumstance and begin to look to Him, because He's the answer. You know what? And sometimes we get in these situations where things really stink, and we come to find out later it's because of our own stupidity that we're in that situation. And God's been trying to tell us the whole time that, you know, we need to make a change, but we're too dense to figure it out because we're more concerned about our circumstance than we are concerned about what He's saying. You know what? I know, I'm kind of throwing out a lot of things to make you anxious, to make you afraid. I know that, but that's the point. There's a reason He said, don't be anxious, do not be afraid, do not be concerned. Because there's things that can be fearful. There's things that can cause us to be anxious. But God didn't leave us alone. He sent us a comforter. John 14:16-18. I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive. Because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. For He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Yay! You have a helper. He dwells inside of you. And he's the Spirit of Truth. Do you ever look at a situation and go, what is wrong with those people? Don't they see? No. They don't know the Spirit of Truth. They don't see the truth. They see the lies. They see the deceptions. They see the illusion. The fantasy. Because their father is the father of lies. But we have the Lord of Truth, the God of glory, the God who there is no shadow, there's no darkness, there's no variance. He is light. There's no darkness in Him. That Spirit dwells in us. And He's there to lead us and guide us. We know Him, but the world doesn't. We know Him. You know what? That Spirit dwells in you, and it dwells in me. It dwells in each one of us. And it's just like we don't have to just rely on ourselves to get the truth. Because the Holy Spirit resides in each one of us. You know, it talks about we're a body. That each joint, each member supplies needs to the body. This is what it's talking about. We can't see all truth. Because we don't have the Spirit without measure. We're corrupted flesh. We have failings. We have shortcomings. We have areas of shadow and darkness in our lives. And we need one another because sometimes we need the light in them to show us the darkness in us. We need to show us where we have error, where we're wrong. And we need that. That's why we need to trust in one another and walk in love towards one another and speak truth to one another in love. What does that mean? That we do it not in a condescending, self-righteous manner, but doing it out of a pure concern for the other individual. Out of love. Not in a hopes of getting them to do right, but your concern that they're not fulfilling the potential of their life. And if we started coming from that perspective, and saying, it's not because I want them to do the right thing that I'm wanting them to change, but I want them to realize the potential that they have in their life. How that would change how we would approach situations and how we would interact with people. Oh yeah. You know, a good father is always there to help. A good father always helps. God refers to God. Jesus refers to God as the Father, as a good Father. And that if we, being evil, know how to do good things for our kids, how much more does our Heavenly Father know, right? My dad is a good dad. And he's whenever I've needed help, he's been there. There was one winter, I was at a meeting in the morning with some other members of Lake Elmo. And this was before I started pastoring here, I believe. And I was having breakfast with them. Oh, Dennis DeMar was one of them, Pastor John. Anyway, doesn't matter. Too much detail. We were having breakfast down in Somerset. And I get a call from Amy, and she had gone off the road. She had slid off the road. It had been glare ice. And she slid off, and she was stuck, and she was freaked out. Well, Amy doesn't do well when the adrenaline hits. She's not one of those that keeps a clear mind. So she was a little out of it. She didn't know quite what to do. And so I'm like, ah, oh, I gotta go, guys. And so then I don't remember if she had called. Did she call you? She called you. So she called my dad and told her, you know, what had happened. And so I'm headed there. And then my dad dropped everything and head over there. He was actually closer. And he was there. By the time I got there, he was there. You know, because he's a good dad. He's ready to help. Something needs to be done. Something needs to be taken care of. They're there. And if my dad, being evil, In comparison to God, if He can do that, how much more does God as our Heavenly Father? Right there when we need Him. Right there. Well, I don't feel him. You don't need to feel him. You don't need to sense him. You trust him because of his character. You know, and God sent somebody to help us in these times. The Comforter. He's a Comforter. Be anxious for nothing. We have a Comforter to help us when we get anxious and to rely upon him. We will be persecuted and hated. Oh, can I use this? Okay. I have some boundaries here. I have to be careful. You know, they won't listen to us. You know, the whole Black Lives Matter things. And online nowadays, this is like, they say Black Lives Matters. But a lot of places are saying, you can't say All Lives Matters. If you say All Lives Are Matter, All Lives Matter, we will take down your posts and ban you. Madness. But here's an example of, you know what? We'll be persecuted for speaking the truth, for saying what is true. And they'll hate us. I mean, we say all lives matter, and they were like, wow, how could you be so intolerant? I just thought that kind of went without explanation. I think that was just kind of obvious. You know, we will receive persecution in this life. So it's like, do you believe that Jesus knew what was going to happen? Do you believe that he would tell us what the future is? Mark 10:30. Turn there. You need to look at this. This is a discussion between Jesus and the disciples. And they were talking about giving things up for the kingdom, that they had given all of this stuff up. They had left homes, they had left family, they had left jobs. They're saying, we gave up all this stuff. And Jesus responds to them. He says, yeah, you've given all of that, but those who have given up, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time? Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children's and lands with persecution. With persecution. And the age to come, eternal life. Okay, here's a very clear distinction. For those people who say there's no such thing as a prosperity gospel, I think that this kind of blows it out of the water. Jesus said that in this life you would receive that which you gave up. In this life, if you've given up stuff for the sake of the kingdom, because you chose to walk in obedience to God, you've given up a good paying job. Because you've chose to walk in obedience to God, you gave up a piece of land, that you've walked away from a family, that you've given up relationships, because you've had to walk away from family members and friends. It says that you would receive more in this life. In this life, and the life to come, you'll receive eternal life. We don't need it when we get to the eternal life. We don't need that. But he's promising us that we will receive a hundredfold return. One seed in the ground, you get 100 from the one. 100-fold, right? Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. With persecution. It's interesting that he tagged that on there. He says, just in case you think that this is all going to be fun and exciting, he says there's going to be persecution. You know, it's just like there's this balance, like back and forth. I'm pulling on your emotions back and forth, like getting you excited and then letting you down, and getting you excited and letting you down. Yeah, yeah. is life. But we need to realize that there are great, exciting things in the kingdom. There's amazing, wonderful things that happen when God is involved in our lives and there's persecution. And we don't want to be like Elijah. Elijah, great man of God, saw many miracles, many wonders, but he wasn't ready for the persecution. He had prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. I cannot claim that. I do not have that kind of faith yet. But here's Elijah. God spoke to him and he prayed it would not rain for 3.5 years. He says, but by my command it will not rain. That was what he said. But by my command it will not rain. That means he had to command it to rain or it wasn't going to rain. Which you think if he killed them, they'd be in a world of trouble. But here he was. They come to this, and there comes to the showdown of the prophets of Baal and Elijah. Prophets of Baal, you know, in the morning they set up the sacrifice and they're out there all day long, trying to get the thing to catch fire. Nothing happens. At the end of the day, Elijah, he goes out there, he sets up the proper sacrifice, restores the altar, puts the wood on it, prepares the sacrifice, puts it on, has him pour water on it. I mean, the thing is saturated that there's a trough of water around, so much water. I mean, the altar, it would have been muck, walking to the altar. And the fire from heaven comes down and consumes everything. Nothing left. I mean, that would make me excited, okay? So we're in service, right? And somebody falls over dead, and we raise them from the dead. Or somebody comes in and grows an arm out. Woo! Praise God. That's going to make us excited. We're going to be on top of the world. We're going to be like, I saw an arm grow back at church today. You need to come to my church, right? So here's Elijah, and they kill the prophets of Baal. Everybody's like, Jehovah is God. I mean, if you were there and you weren't willing to say Jehovah is God, you just got to be something wrong in your head. So then he goes up and he prays, and the rain comes. God fulfilling his promise. He said it wouldn't rain, but by my word. And by his word, he said it would rain, and it started raining. God, he's seeing God fulfill all the things that he'd been looking forward to, all the promises, and he's excited, he's stoked. It says that he outran the chariots. I mean, he was on fire. He was stoked. He was ready to go. And he gets there, and he gets a letter from Jezebel saying, I'm going to make you like one of the prophets of Baal before the end of the day. Whoa! I'm out of here. Persecution. He received persecution. How much more? Persecution. And he had had enough. Now, I sympathize with his situation. I can understand the frustration in dealing with that. He was ready. He was like, yes, I'm seeing it all come to pass. And then just right where he was before, boom! It's like, we need to be stronger. We need to realize that there are going to be times of excitement. There's going to be times of amazement. And then there's going to be times when it's going to seem like everything's falling down. But be anxious for nothing. Anxious for nothing. Because our confidence isn't in our circumstances. Our confidence is in our God. Miracles come and miracles go. God is forever. Jesus said in John 15:20, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. You know, Jesus told them, his disciples, when they went out and they preached the gospel and they began to speak to the people, that there would be those that wouldn't receive. And he said, what do? Shake the dust off. Shake the dust off. You know what? There's a time to walk away from a situation. And there's no skin off your nose. You don't need to be worried about it. You go on with Jesus because he's the foundation that you stand on. Peace is not the absence of conflict. I know it is a definition, but in this, I just want to say that having peace is not the absence of conflict. It's knowing where you stand. That's where peace is. This is where I stand. I stand in Jesus. We stand in Jesus. Okay, so two more verses. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you. That in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if we stand in Jesus, we have overcome the world in Him. Okay, back to Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. We put our trust, our absolute all in Him. He is our all. He is our all. And if we put our absolute trust, our heart and our mind in Christ, then He will guard it. Because it says that to him who is faithful to commit into God's hands, God is well able to keep it. Well able to keep it. If we commit it to God, He is well able to keep it. If you commit yourself to God, He's well able to keep you. In this world, we will have trials and tribulations. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. For He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have given us Your Word. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. Lord, we trust You to keep us and guide us. We are committed to You. We are committed to You. Because there is nothing worth committing to in this world. So we commit to You. And we know that You will keep us. Lord, we love You. We exalt You. And we honor You and give You glory and honor. And we thank You for saving us. In Jesus' name, Amen.